This season of The Next Step is made possible by a grant from Gatto and Laura Artinian of Sydney, Australia, in memory of George Samarjan, and by listeners like you. Donate at epostle.net.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the Voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 334 of The Next Step, a podcast that puts it all together, that brings the old and the new, that takes the psychological, the emotional, the physical, puts it all together under the guise of religion. Well, it's a religion for today. It's called Armodoxy. Adapting from the most ancient forms of Christianity, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and if you're ready to take the next step, I know I am, let's do it. So good to have you with us today. Did you like that beginning? Well, all kinds of stuff to reflect the times that we're in. Yes, it is the end of October. Those beautiful October nights, October skies. That's what Moondance is all about. And of course, that means Halloween is approaching. It's tomorrow. And Halloween approaching means it's All Saints Day in a couple days. Yeah, wow. We've got saints to remember, too. We've got all kinds of things happening today. I'm going to start it off with some news that's going around and people are talking about. And I'm just really, I'm moved. And I don't want to make a commentary. Rather, I want to share it with you. And then I'm going to share with you some ideas that are some of the big ideas that we're involved in right now. You know, a part of the In His Shoes mission, last night I was with Susie and Ani, who is developing a new platform for In His Shoes. I'm very, very excited. We have a launching party coming up soon, and I'll let you know so Next Step listeners can listen to that. We're going to be launching a new stage in the life of In His Shoes, and of course with April 24th next year coming up, 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, that's going to mean that In His Shoes steps up its activity, no pun intended, although the pun is there, and why not? We're going to be talking about the souls. That's all I'll leave it at, right? How about that? Okay, I'll just hit you with the souls. And we'll just leave it at that, right? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, I will share with you what's going on in the life of In His Shoes. But, you know, and also Ani, I got to tell you about Ani. She's been trying to get me to move over to a Macintosh platform. And the way things are going, I think Ken's having a really rough time with this. With this podcast, I don't know what's happening. The last several months, we've had some technical issues, and I don't want to admit that because admitting that means somebody's going to say along the way, hey, well, why don't you go over to the Macintosh platform? And I'm not ready to do that. First of all, the cost is, holy moly, what are they charging for nothing? Second of all, wow, these machines that we got right now, these are pretty powerful. So we should be able to get you a good podcast out there, and I hope you're enjoying it. The quality, I think you've noticed it's improved over the last couple weeks since we did an upgrade on our equipment. But anyway, we will leave that discussion to one side for right now. I'm going to start off with a rather heavy topic right now. And that's something that's been talked about quite a bit lately here in the United States. I don't know if it's getting to you in the other parts where you're listening to me, but this is about assisted suicide. And I guess it's gone from those dark pages to the mainstream. Dark pages, do you remember several years ago there was a doctor named Jack Kevorkian? And he was the first one of the pioneers who was talking about assisted suicide. And actually, his first book that he wrote was not about assisted suicide as much as it was about the dignity of life. And I'll share a few ideas with you. If you do some of the research on some of our earlier podcasts, we talk quite extensively about this. But I'm talking in reference to a young girl, 29-year-old. Her name is Brittany Maynard. And there's a lot of talk about her, a lot of controversy, a lot of commentary as well. And I'm not, as I said, I don't want to make the commentary. I don't feel I'm qualified. I don't feel that it's my place, especially as a priest. Sometimes people want that commentary to come out, but I'm going to throw it out as a priest for you to think about, something to think about. Brittany Maynard, 29-year-old, diagnosed with stage 4. Let me try to see if I could read this properly. Glioblastoma multiforme. It's the most lethal and quickly moving form of brain cancer. Between her first diagnosis on January 1st of this year and several months later, her condition had changed so rapidly that her prognosis went from several years to several months left to live. And because treatment options are so few and because her quality of life is already compromised, she suffers seizures and debilitating headaches. Brittany has decided that she wants to die with dignity on a specific date, namely November 1st, well before the holidays and 2 days after her husband's birthday. Brittany's story is obviously heartbreaking and depressing, but she is using it as a reason to bring attention to Oregon's Death with Dignity Act, which is something that doesn't exist where she lives. She lives in California in San Francisco area. Now, I'm reading off of a web page, and I'm going to put a link on today's show notes because it's rather well publicized here in California because she is a Californian. I don't know how it is in the rest of the country or in other places, but I do want you to see this. Particularly, there's a video, and I do want to warn you that it is very heartbreaking. It's a difficult video to watch. So exercise some caution, and rather than a discussion, because I really, really don't feel that it's our place to discuss this. To me, I believe in those personal human rights, and this is really such a personal decision on the level that nobody knows what it's like until you're in the shoes of that other person. God forbid you have to be in that situation, but I'm presenting this because so many of us are struggling with issues that take place daily, and we have to make educated choices, choices that require more than a black and white answer, more than a yes or no. And I'm saying this with all due respect to the church and its laws and its canons. Obviously, suicide is something that is not permitted in the church. It goes against canon law. It goes against the natural laws that are out there. But still, until you're in those shoes, you cannot just sit there and make judgment calls on other people and their decisions. Furthermore, as a churchman, you live with hope. As a church individual, you live with hope. You believe in better days to come. But still, I don't want to get into this discussion for obvious reasons. And if it's not so obvious, get to know me and I'll tell you why it's so obvious. I do want to talk about just this basic situation that she finds herself in. and use it as a point just for us to really contemplate some of the serious issues that are plaguing us today in this 21st century. Serious moral issues, serious ethical issues. Now, these were issues certainly in generations before us, but remember that the family was different, the family structure, so that you had individuals who had difficulties, who had illnesses, but the solid family structure, you had not just the nucleus, the nuclear family, but you had the extended family reaching out and being there. And right now you have issues of care, of particularly long-term care, right? You have people that are living longer, and you have new illnesses that are being diagnosed, right? Because they are living longer. You know, people talk about Alzheimer's right now. It's such a big issue right now. Well, why wasn't there Alzheimer's before? Well, you could attribute it to environmental conditions, but you also have to remember that life expectancy has gone longer. And as they find new cures for these illnesses, people live longer and you have new issues that are going to come up. You know, it's like the guy who dies at age 100 and you say, well, what did he die of? Well, he died of old age. You know, he died because he was 100, you know. You can't fight it. At some point, you're going to close your eyes for the last time. And that's, like I said, this is a depressing topic, but it is something that is concerning people more and more as we face the aging population. Here in the United States, we had the baby boom generation, which was the largest generation, and that generation is now reaching the end of their life cycle. And so these issues become bigger and bigger issues. But what happens in the case of someone like this 29-year-old diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, a tumor that is inoperable and has cut her life down to such a short span, and the quality of life is gone. And she makes this decision. Now, in this article, she does talk about that she does want to raise awareness about the Oregon laws, which here in our country, we have 50 states. Each state has its own laws. Oregon being one of the 50 states, maybe the only one, I'm not sure, I don't know exactly, but one of the few or if only state that does have this assisted suicide law. Now, I referred to Jack Kevorkian. Now, Jack Kevorkian was an interesting character. He was really a character who was trying to get this death with dignity. But his early writings, it's very interesting, and unfortunately, they're usually forgotten about. Jack Kevorkian didn't start off talking about assisted suicide. What he did was he was talking about prisoners who are on death row. Basically, the state is sanctioning their death and is authorizing their death. And he said that in early times, and he alludes to the Armenian kingdoms back in the 14th century that had rules where prisoners could give up their organs. Ah, you thought that organ donation was something new, right? Well, maybe the donation part is new, but they could give up their bodies for science so that people could learn. People could learn from the anatomy, actual remains, okay? Oh, this is a tough one, isn't it? But Jack Kevorkian wrote about that, and he talked about how in the Armenian kingdoms, that these people who were sentenced to death, they would be allowed to give up their bodies so that science could go forward, medicine could go forward. And his argument in that early book was that, you know, why aren't we doing that with people who are in death row? And he goes out to death row and he interviews prisoners who are a few months, few years away from being killed, executed, and he asks them, and I can't remember the exact statistic, but it was phenomenal. It was like 9 out of 10, 90 out of 100 who said that, yes, that's fine. You know, why waste my body if I could do something good as a last ditch effort sometimes for atonement? And, you know, when they talk in that level, you're talking about a very spiritual being, right? You're talking about a very spiritual, religious event taking place. So you see how it all fits in. Now, Of course, this Brittany Maynard, our hearts go out to her. It's a terrible, terrible situation. But she does raise the issues. She does raise a consciousness level. And I'm saying this because we need to start thinking about the important questions of life dignity. When we talk about happiness in life, what is that happiness? What are the boundaries of that happiness? On what is that? Is that happiness predicated on? Okay, and these are important issues. So I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. Check out her video. Check out the story. I'd love to hear from you. These are difficult questions, and like I said, I'm not here to stand as judge. This is something that she has to decide, and I do really believe in that human being's right, not about committing suicide, because obviously somebody who does commit suicide does have so many issues. If it's not physical issues, it's emotional, psychological. And I'm certainly the first one who's going to advocate for counseling and for people to make a use of the systems that are around them to help. But in this case, you have a severe illness, an illness which is beyond reason. You know, these cancers take over the body. They take over just everything that is known as life, as we call it. And these are issues that we do need to discuss because people are suffering. There is not the support system that we have out there that we used to have with the extended families, with the church, with the support systems, with faith, with God, with religion. Yes. Believe it or not, there's some fantastic things that religion does for the human soul, if exercised properly. And now we have come to a secularized society. We have arrived here in the 21st century, completely secularized. And certainly there is religion, but it is so adulterated with just kind of wild ideas and notions about superiority. My religion's better than yours, and you can't do that, and I can't do that, and so on and so on. So I want you to just really kind of think about this situation. Think about, well, let me just put it out to you. What would you do walking in her shoes? What are your alternatives? I'd love to hear from you. And without a commentary, I'm just putting it out. I'm going to take a break right now for the song of the day. I'll be back in a few minutes to share with you some other ideas of what's going on in our world in an Armadoxy look. Thank you. That is Lucia Micarelli. Song is Meditations from Thais. A little piece I wanted us to meditate on. Kind of a difficult topic we started off with. Lucia Micarelli. I will make sure that there's a link to on our show notes to her music. Do check her out. I had the pleasure of seeing her in performance several years ago when she performed with Jethro Tull in the Los Angeles area. And just an incredible talent whose fingers would fly on those strings. Lucia Micarelli on the violin. Meditations from Thais. Okay, I know I didn't give you answers today, right? You wanted answers to that one. And the part of what we do here on The Next Step is not so much answers, but an opportunity to think. I've shared this with you many times. If you think about the people you've learned the most with, it's not the teacher who stood up in front of you and just told you, this is this, A plus B equals C, and that's it. But it's a person that allowed you to think and question, why does A plus B equal C? May I engage in a conversation that not every time A is A, not every time B is B. And sometimes when you combine the A and the B, you may not get a C, but there may be a D and an F. And it's possible that those D and Fs are tangents out there, and they do exist, even though it goes against logic. So sometimes it's important for us to not be so quick in saying we're looking for an answer and we found it, but allow that process, that a process of engaging in conversation. In fact, in the Armenian system, in the Armenian Orthodox system of learning, there is what's called the Gemaran. And Gemaran comes from the word, it's the word that's used for seminary or for the school, but the actual word comes from the verb to walk. And it's taken because you would walk with your professors through the garden and you would talk, you would engage in a dialogue. When you think about the Gacaca trials that took place in Rwanda, what does that mean? Actually, under the tree, you would sit there and you would talk until everyone is satisfied. And I actually had a case this week where a new priest was ordained and I had a chance to go and visit him while he was in seclusion. The newly consecrated Father Serope. And what we did is we actually walked. We took an incredible walk during which we talked, we discussed, we talked about pastoral issues, about theological issues, and it was a dialogue that took place between this new priest and this old priest over here. But this is what's so exciting about the idea of Gemaran, about walking and talking and discussing. And so don't be afraid to discuss and to think. As Susie says so brilliantly at the beginning of our show, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to understand armadoxy. Armadoxy is really about feeling. It's about senses. It's a holistic approach. And it's not necessarily an A plus B equals C, but an A plus B may equal a D and an F sometimes. And that's fine too. If you're looking for the E, it's probably there somewhere too. Now, I have so much to share with you today, and I think some of it's going to have to be left for next week. I mean, I'm going crazy with the number of things that we do want to discuss. I saw an ad for American Airlines, and listen to what it says right here. It says, today we reinvent it. Talking about their airlines. And I'm thinking, well, what are we doing in armadoxy? Aren't we reinventing a form that has been lost? And the next week, I think I'm going to leave this for next week, because next week a movie comes out. And let me see if I can remember what it's called. Interstellar. And I just read a fascinating, fascinating article in Wired magazine about the black hole phenomena. And I'm going to leave it for next week because I do want to put some thoughts together. Because the idea of constructing something that we cannot understand is at the focus of this article. We cannot understand black holes. We cannot understand this phenomena. And we try. There's theories about black holes, but we can't really put our fingers on it. But we know that light is traveling so quickly that it gets absorbed into these massive gravity holes. And it was a challenge for the people who were making this movie to construct a means by which you could understand that. Well, think about what we're doing in Armadoxy when we're talking about, is there another language we can talk for peace? Yeah, we can't understand it. How can love conquer evil? How could forgiveness be greater than all the powers of evil and corruption that are out there? Killing, mayhem, genocide. How could you possibly put the word forgiveness in with something like that? And we've been sharing these ideas, especially in His Shoes Ministries, but this article really gave me so much to think about, and I'm going to share it next week because I do want to really put some thoughts together. I do want to talk about a phenomena that took place about 20 years ago, and that phenomena was the passing of a great Catholicos in the Armenian Church. And to be honest, I wasn't going to discuss this, but something happened. Now, let me back up a little bit. And today when I went into the studio to do my weekly video show, Armenian Christianity Today, it just kind of flowed. And I want to share some ideas with you, maybe in a little bit broader perspective. But our primate here in the Western Diocese, Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, announced that this month we will be remembering Catholicos Vazgen I of blessed memory, because it is the 20th year of his passing. He passed away in 1994, having one of the longest reigns. I believe he was only the second longest. 39 years as the Catholicos of all Armenians. He began in 1955 when he was elected and consecrated to that position, and he continued through some of the most difficult years in the Armenian Church. Last month when I was in Armenia, I have to share this with you. When I was in Armenia, the priest there in Yerevan asked me if I would give the sermon. And part of my sermon, I alluded to the Catholicos of blessed memory, Vazgen I. And I'll never forget this. I was up at the altar area giving this sermon. And when I said his name, all of a sudden, people looked at one another and they started making the sign of the cross. And I can't forget that. That image is so clear in my head. Imagine that. So revered, so loved was this Catholicos. The people, when they heard his name after 20 years, they made the sign of the cross. They looked at one another with a blessing that came from above. So here in our diocese, we are remembering Catholicos Vazgen. And I went to an event last Sunday night, and it was okay, you know. There was a history lesson that was given, who he was, where he was born, and so much of the facts that went with him. There was a few personal reflections, but what was left out was his visit to the United States. And that's something that I want to share with you, our listeners, because that is important. Here's why. Because it signified the first time that a Catholicos came out of Armenia to the United States. Well, obviously, not much long before then, there was no community here in the United States. But since the genocide, 1915, the Armenian church here in America has grown. I believe the first Armenian church was built in 1890s. But really, it was after 1915, after the genocide, that Armenians started coming to the United States in mass numbers. And we were at this event last Sunday night. I went with my mom, and my mom, you know, was the reason why I got to know Catholicos Vazgen. She actually corresponded with him. She would send letters and actually made one of his cross holders for him. And I was introduced to him at age 4. I have a picture with him. It's kind of a cool picture. It sits in my office. People look at it and say, who is that kid? And looks nothing like me. But it does look a little bit like my nephew, so I kind of get like a few points there. But I did have a chance to meet him back in 1986 when he came to America a second time. Met him a third time in 1977 when I was a seminarian at Holy Etchmiadzin, and he would teach us psychology, and to the upper levels he would teach preaching. Not so much about how to become an orator as much as how to develop content for a sermon. And this was fascinating. Here is the Catholicos giving those lessons. Some of the more funny things that happened while we were taking classes with him. I can't forget these moments. We'd be in his office and, you know, this was during the Soviet Union time. And electronics being what they were all messed up. And so people would all of a sudden he'd pick up the phone and he'd tell them that they had the wrong number. And I'd always think to myself, wow, can you imagine dialing a number and getting the Catholicos of all Armenians and him telling you personally, sorry, you have the wrong number. But let me share with you a couple stories that I think are important to remember. This is in the dark ages of Soviet Union. And the church really was in shambles, especially after Lenin and Stalin. There was basically no church. When Catholicos Vazgen I took the throne of St. Gregory in 1955, he was elected to that throne. He was basically an unknown bishop coming from Romania. And he was probably, here's the argument for being led by the Holy Spirit, probably the right man for the right job at that time. He had compassion, he had love, he had a love of Christ, he had a love of God, and his understanding of the church as the body of Christ was seen in all of his messages. His first encyclical, that's the official letter that was written by Catholicos, was about love. And on his tombstone, he wanted the words, love never ends, love never fails, to be written. And those were written. It was about a ministry of love that he talked about and he practiced. It was very difficult times because the Armenian church, being in a Soviet country, the headquarters, it was under attack by many people, including many Armenians, who wanted to say that it was a communist church. And you had the idea of the Red Church, which was also prominent in many of the Soviet satellite countries, as well as Russia. You had the White Russians, the Red Russians. No, those aren't drinks. Those are sadly labels people put on other groups. And I do remember those times as well. And that's a whole separate issue. And Vazgen the First, of blessed memory, really, you have to stand when you say his name, and that's probably why the people in Yerevan actually made the sign of cross. He was a tough man and yet very flexible. He was a brilliant man. He was a man of faith. He was a man who prayed. And I'll never forget this story. It came, and I'm always think about it because this place that I'm going to talk about, the Shrine Auditorium, is directly across the school, University of Southern California, where I went, where my kids went. So I'd have many times where I'd go there and I'd see this. The University of Southern California in Los Angeles, directly across from it, has the Shrine Auditorium. And back in 1960, the first time that a Catholicos leaves Armenia, leaves Holy Etchmiadzin to come to the States, you could imagine with what enthusiasm the people were ready to receive him. In fact, so much enthusiasm that they wanted the best place possible for him to celebrate the Divine Liturgy. So they go out and they rent the Shrine Auditorium in the heart of Los Angeles. And here they are ready to accept the Catholicos of all Armenians. And he shows up to the Shrine Auditorium. Now, remember, Shrine Auditorium, until recently, was used for many occasions, for many celebrities, including the Academy Awards. Yes, the Academy Awards would take place right in the Shrine Auditorium. So it's used to some big names being there, okay? And here it is, the biggest name among the Armenian community during that time. And here he is, Vazgen I, showing up at the Shrine Auditorium to celebrate the Pontifical Mass, the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church. And you had thousands of people assembled at the Shrine Auditorium waiting for the Catholicos to arrive. And his entourage, his party, arrives in their cars, and His Holiness gets out of his car and he looks up at the Shrine Auditorium, and guess what? There's the symbol of the Shriners, which also happens to be the symbol of the Turkish nation, the star and crescent. And he looks up at that and he says, I cannot celebrate the Divine Liturgy under those symbols. What? Where's political correctness? What about all these people, thousands of people? How about convenience? He said, I cannot celebrate the Divine Liturgy under these symbols. Remember, this is 1960, 45 years after the Armenian Genocide. I cannot serve under these symbols, the star and crescent, a people who perpetrated a mass murder, annihilation of 1.5 million Armenians. I cannot justify my Armenian churches being empty today and me sitting here and celebrating the divine liturgy. And they picked up. Everybody, thousands of people, relocated, and they celebrated the divine liturgy at one of the local churches, St. James, which was maybe a couple miles away. Thousands of people being escorted and taken over there, as was the Catholicos and his entourage, the pontifical party. Everybody went over there to celebrate the divine liturgy. And you think about this. Here's a man of courage. Here's a man of principle. Here's a man of character. Yeah, you can make the argument, hey, you know, what about political correctness? Well, look at it. Catholicos, please, take it easy. There's thousands of people lined up over here. We can't inconvenience them. What inconvenience? The blood of the martyrs? What inconvenience? 1.5 million people died under those symbols of the star and crescent. He just refused to do the divine liturgy, the celebration of love under symbols which were known to our people as the symbols of death, the symbols of murder, the symbols of genocide. And I mention this here because it is so important to label this as an act of courage, an act of character, an act of discipline. And if you knew the Catholicos, and certainly there are many stories written about him, you know that he was a man of love, and he was very flexible, especially when it came to acting out against some of the most inhumane things that took place in his own lifetime, including the split of the Armenian Church, the split of the body of Christ. He approached that with love, with forgiveness. But when it came to representing the people in the act of love, of human compassion, as is expressed through the Holy Badarak, he refused. He said, it doesn't make sense for my Armenian churches to be empty. His Holiness came two other times, 1968, and then in 1987, where I had the privilege of being present at his Divine Liturgy, which was celebrated at the Hollywood Bowl. What a beautiful event that was. I can never forget his beautiful oration during his sermon, and then all of us communing, receiving the Holy Sacrament, the sacrament which tied us to Christ, to his Holy Church, and the generations between the time of the First Eucharist and today. His Holiness Vazgen I, there are many things we can say about him. There's many things that we need to share about him. But I want to share with you these words that I mentioned. Courage. Discipline. Commitment. Focus. All virtues that are so needed today, and especially the important one, man of character and principle. That these are my principles. Okay, we can bend, we can be flexible on a lot of things, but my principles are these. I'm sorry, I can't help you at this time. I was very blessed and honored that some 27 years after his ordination, I was ordained on the same day. And on that day, my ordaining bishop, Archbishop Vache, gave me the name Vazgen. I just found out what the name Vazgen means. I just found out this last Sunday at the event. I found out why he was named. I'll share that with you next week. I'm going to wrap it up right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I'm going to come back and share with you some ideas about In His Shoes. Got so much to talk about.
Before continuing with this broadcast, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners, for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step has given us the opportunity to touch many lives and create lasting friendships. For this, we are immensely grateful. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. We would love to be able to continue this ministry for as long as there is a need. To do so, we must be able to cover our expenses. Things like hosting, server space, software, and equipment are an essential component and ongoing need for getting this message out. So, we look forward to your continued support. Thank you, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
And thank you, Susie, and thank you to the piano player and everybody else who makes this possible, especially you, the listeners. Your donations, your encouragement, and especially your prayers go a long way in ensuring the success of this ministry. And I need to tell you that this is so important right now. As I shared a few minutes ago, we're looking for a new language. And I think that new language is found in the old. I've just had a chance to go through some of the footage that we shot in Armenia. When you see this stuff, when we talk about this stuff, it's not about just being a better Armenian. It has absolutely nothing to do with Armenians today. It has something to do with the world today. And that there is a message here, a secret message. And that secret message is secret because, well, we don't have critical mass. We don't have the number of people that we should be having to get this message out there. So it's a small group of people practicing this very ancient faith, a very small section of Christianity. But I think that this has all but been forgotten. When you find, well, the reasons why people were out there putting stone on top of stone, and you go to these sacred shrines within Armenia, you understand that there is a connection to the divine that has, well, we've forgotten about it. We've forgotten that there's a message here because you look at the people and we start judging by the standards of this world. And what are the standards of this world? Might is right. You got a lot of might. You know, we'll show you how you can take over. There's power there. Well, there's power in the simple. There is power in forgiveness. There is power in love. And we're finding that every day that we're going through the material that we went through, the places that we went through, the footage. Just last night in preparing for the Bible study, I was going through some of the most recent footage that we shot in Armenia. It is incredible. It's mind-boggling. How this small group of people were able to survive, and not only survive, but live and prosper. And there is a message there. And that's the message that we get across through Armadoxy. Now, in the coming months, you're going to be seeing more and more, like on the video side, you're going to be seeing some of the work that we're doing. And this is all really just, it's evolving. How else can I say it? It's evolving. Sometimes we don't even expect what we're going to be looking at. Last night in preparing for the Bible study, I found some footage. We'd forgotten that we had shot it. And it was a nice reminder that, hey, you know, we got to stay connected to the real roots of what we're doing. So your donations, what they do is they keep us on track, getting us the material, getting us the time, and making this happen. So I'm certainly looking forward to the next few months as we launch In His Shoes in a new form. It's the same message that we've always had. We're not breaking our principles, but we are being flexible in a Vazgenian manner. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to be here at this point in life. I'm excited for the people that are on board with us. And I'm looking forward to other people getting on board and other people really lighting up to this incredible message that we've found. Now, that being said, I want to remind you that tomorrow happens to be Halloween. And this is really one of those fun days for me because, well, we get to see the joy and the excitement within youth because of candy, because of wonder, because of magic that takes place. And I enjoy it certainly because of its, well, people always ascribe it to pagan roots. Yeah, there are pagan roots, but so are there in Christianity too. But it also connects with Christianity because it happens to be All Hallows Eve, which is All Saints Day, the night before All Saints Day. And I always emphasize this. Hey, if you're going to be celebrating Halloween, what a beautiful way but to remember the saints, and along with the costumes that you have out there, make some costumes of saints. Have your kids dress up as some of the saints, because that's what it's about. It's about bringing the past in with today and celebrating and being fun. So it's really making this day a very special one in your life, in your family's life, and I hope you do take advantage of that. I mean, think about it. A St. Vartan outfit? Man, the St. Vartan better than any of the other warriors. Chopped off the necks of the elephants. And wow, you want to get gory, you want to get bloody, it's all in there too. Now, but there's some great stuff going on out there. So celebrate Halloween, make it a special one. If you want more information about Halloween, how we look at it, check out some of the archives that we have on the In His Shoes website on epostle.net. I've spoken quite extensively about the practice of Halloween and how we can plug into it in a very meaningful manner and make Halloween a very special and fun one for you and your family. So happy Halloween, happy All Saints Day to everyone, and may the joy of the saints be in your life as well. I'm going to call it a day for today. I've got so much going on. We're going to be checking out a new campsite actually today, because we're setting up the retreat, the In His Shoes retreat in January. Please do mark off that second weekend. Actually, I believe it's the third weekend this year, the Martin Luther King weekend, on your calendar. Do join us here in Southern California. We're going to be having a great retreat this year. It's going to be redemptive, reconstructive, and all kinds of reason there. Okay, I'll tell you more about that. Hopefully today we will be able to find the venue that we're going to be having it at. We usually like to get away and do it at a retreat center somewhere off in the mountains, up by the beach, somewhere. But it should be finalized in the next few weeks. So with that, we'll call it a day, and congratulations to all you Giants fans. What a game that was last night. The Giants are the World Series, like, you know, world. Well, actually, the United States Series, the World Series, we'll call it, okay? The Giants win the World Series, and congratulations to all of our listeners up in San Francisco. I know the home team is an important one for you there, as it was when I was living up in the Bay Area. Anyway, congratulations to everybody, and happy Halloween. Listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I hope it was as meaningful and as important to you as it was for us to get it out. Please join us on Facebook. We are at epostle.net, In His Shoes. Well, that's going to be getting a facelift. I would suggest wait a couple more weeks. You're going to love what In His Shoes is all about. For the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, Vahir, our webman, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take a next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.